Bom dia a todos.
Good morning, Commissioner. Yes.
Estamos em condições de começar a nossa reunião. Não sei se a senhora comissária já está a ouvir a tradução. Então, muito bom dia a todos. Eu queria começar por agradecer a presença da vice-presidente Vera Jourova uma vez mais no nosso Parlamento em muito poucos meses. Acompanhamos o seu trabalho com interesse. Esta vai ser uma audiência realizada conjuntamente pela Comissão de Assuntos Europeus e pela Primeira Comissão, aqui representada pelo deputado José Magalhães, na mesa, a quem darei de imediato a palavra. E eu queria, em brevíssimas palavras, para além de agradecer uma vez mais a presença da Comissária, felicitar a Comissão pela apresentação deste segundo relatório, que é de facto uma peça de muito difícil elaboração e que, na linha, aliás, do relatório do ano passado, que tivemos aqui a oportunidade de discutir com o Comissário Didier Reynders, é de facto uma peça notável que nos dá uma perspectiva muito geral da problemática do Estado de Direito na União. E é particularmente grato, enquanto parlamentar português, verificar que, não sendo as coisas perfeitas em Portugal, como todos nós sabemos, o nosso país está razoavelmente bem colocado em todos os itens objeto de apreciação. Para não perder mais tempo, a senhora comissária tem hoje uma agenda muito preenchida em Portugal. Tive a oportunidade de ver a sua agenda e vejo que tem várias iniciativas onde terá de desmultiplicar-se. E passaria, por isso, de imediato a palavra ao colega José Magalhães para umas palavrinhas introdutórias também, enquanto presidente, neste caso, em exercício da Primeira Comissão.
Senhor Comissário, meu caro colega, senhores deputados, senhoras deputadas, esta reunião de trabalho, porque é uma reunião de trabalho, é de grande importância para nós, Parlamento Português, porque tivemos ocasião de estudar o relatório preparado pela Comissão e os seus anexos. O relatório é importante, mas os anexos não são menos importantes. E felicitamos a Comissão pelo esforço feito para, nos anexos, fazer um retrato. Fazer um retrato da situação de cada um dos países. O retrato de Portugal, podemos discutir isso agora em pormenor, é um retrato incompleto, porque diz respeito a um tempo que está ultrapassado. Ou seja, nos próximos dias, eu dizia nas próximas horas, a Assembleia da República, que vai ser dissolvida, por razões que não vêm agora ao caso, vai completar o trabalho legislativo, por exemplo, relativo a iniciativas sobre corrupção, que é um dos pontos de que se fala neste relatório, com toda a razão. Isto aconselha a que a forma de reporting que a Comissão utiliza seja, porventura, mais dinâmica do que aquilo que está a ser. Ou seja, com os meios eletrónicos que hoje nós temos, é possível ter um Rule of Law Tracker que vá dando conta das alterações e das inovações. Não se trata de uma newsletter nem de uma newsroom, trata-se de um tracker. O tracker vai anotando as diferenças as inovações, as medidas, vai fazer o linking para a fonte de informação e isso ajuda os Estados-membros a olharem uns para os outros. Mas não me cabe agora, nesta sede, intervir substituindo aquilo que quebrará aos grupos parlamentares, que dirão que entender e têm pontos de vista diferentes, porventura opostos em alguns casos, mas cabe-me apenas então saudar o esforço feito e dizer que a senhora Comissária tem feito um notável esforço, felicitá-la por isso e desejar que continue, uma vez que não vai ser dissolvida, e isso é muito bom. Bom trabalho então e seja bem-vinda.
Obrigado. Recordo então a todos que a nossa grelha de trabalho será a seguinte. A senhora Vice-Presidente da Comissão terá 15 minutos para uma intervenção inicial. Cada grupo parlamentar disporá de até 4 minutos para comentários e formular questões. E no final, a senhora Vice-Presidente disporá de mais 10 minutos para as respostas. E assim, sem mais delonga, cara Comissária, tem a palavra.
Thank you very much, honorable members of the Assembly of the Republic. I want to thank you for the invitation to speak in this Parliament and debate with you a topic that is very important for the European Union, the rule of law. I was really amazed when I entered this room and this house. So, first of all, I want to congratulate you for the opportunity to work and to protect democracy and do democracy in this fantastic house. And thank you once again for inviting me. This is a very important event for me, which follows us already yesterday's very rich program I had in Lisbon. I was at Web Summit where we discussed a lot also the opportunities the digital revolution is offering to us, and also I had some public debate, so I have very, very good impressions. And I am grateful for having the chance to explain to you how the Commission sees the rule of law as a basic principle we are the EU is founded on should be protected and nurtured. We believe that we have to do more to protect the principle of rule of law because it is the indispensable ingredient of the liberal democracy together with fundamental rights. These are our basic values. And I think too many of us, liberal democrats, took for granted that liberal democracy, its institutions, the separation of powers will be with us forever. We see that there is no automatism, no guaranteed protection. So we have to work on this. We believe that democracy will prevail no matter what. Here in Portugal, you have overthrown the authoritarian regime in 1974, and the Carnation Revolution paved the way to democratization. Then you joined the European family in 1986. Only 3 years later, in 1989, my region, the Central and Eastern Europe, went through the similar process of removing the shackles of the authoritarian Soviet Union. So today we all meet as proud members of the European Union. And I still remember how it feels to live in such a regime. In my early 20s, I was walking through the streets of Prague, feeling hopeless, full of fear and distrust. This is why the democratic values are so dear to me, and I know that they are dear to you too. Portuguese people understand that democracy and rule of law, or lack of it, have direct impact on people's lives. Yet, as we have unfortunately seen these years in the Union, respect for democracy and the rule of law cannot be taken for granted. Democracy means many things, like free elections and free press, guaranteed equal rights and enforcement of these rights through independent courts. It means separation of powers, not the dictate of the majority. I will quote German President Franz-Walter Steinmeier, who recently said in Bratislava, in Slovakia, that, now the quote, democracy is either liberal or it is not, end of quote. This is not, ladies and gentlemen, some marginal debate. In order to guide Europe through its many challenges, like energy and ecological transition, migration or post-COVID recovery, we need to have a stable compass. This compass is our values and our fundamental rights. It is not a coincidence that it is also a compass of liberal democracies. Without it, the trust among member states, among institutions, and among citizens will be shattered. And without trust, our union and democracy will crumble. This is why we need to act together. This is not a role for the Commission alone. We will do our job, and I will tell you how in a minute. But we need the national parliaments, the European Parliament, the Council to take their responsibilities too. Belgian Prime Minister De Croo has said last week that this is not about kicking anybody out, but about calling them out. If we want Europe that solves the pragmatic and urgent problems, we have to sort out these basic questions. With these concerns in mind, the Commission has developed further its rule of law toolbox. As a preventive tool, the annual rule of law report saw its second edition published in July this year. Its aim is to discuss the situation in all member states and to address the problems before they become too big. This is what brings me to your chamber and why I believe debates with national parliaments are so extremely important. But let me add that we also have other tools, not just this preventive one. In certain situations where the independence of the justice system of a member state has come under threat, the Commission can launch infringement proceedings that can lead to the rulings of the European Court of Justice, as we have seen in case of Poland. Another instrument to address crisis situations is the so-called Article 7 of the Treaty, which establishes a procedure in case of a clear risk of a serious breach of the Union's values. The deterioration of the situation of the rule of law in Poland led the Commission to initiate this procedure in December 2017. In September 2018, the European Parliament decided to do the same for Hungary. These are unprecedented steps in the history of our Union. Both Article 7 proceedings are still ongoing before the Council. Since January 2021, we also have the Budgetary Conditionality Regulation. This is a historical achievement. For the first time, the Union will be able to protect its budget from breaches of the rule of law. Now, let me come to the rule of law report. This report summarizes the important developments in the area of the rule of law in the European Union over the past year. It also contains country-specific assessments for all member states, including for Portugal. In the 2020 report, we again looked at both positive and negative developments, highlighting new or emerging challenges as well as good practices. The 2021 report follows up on the challenges identified in the previous report. It focuses on the same four areas. First, the justice system. Second, anti-corruption. Third, media pluralism and media freedom. And the fourth chapter is dealing with the other institutional issues related to checks and balances. We paid specific attention to the situation created by the COVID-19 pandemic. Let me now say a few words on the main findings of the country chapter for Portugal in the last report published in July. As regards the justice system, the report notes that efficiency remains a challenge, in particular in tax and administrative courts. However, it also acknowledges Portugal's efforts to improve this situation, as well as to address the human resource deficit and to invest in digitalization. The efforts to improve the system of allocation of cases in courts following allegations of interference with the random allocation of cases are also reflected in the report. The report also takes note of the concerns regarding the timely treatment of complex criminal cases and on the ongoing debates to address this issue. We are aware that concrete proposals in this regard are being discussed before this Parliament. It is important that these legal reforms take into account the relevant European standards. Regarding the anti-corruption framework, the report takes note of the approval of the new national anti-corruption strategy, and this is a positive step. But challenges remain concerning the treatment of high-level corruption cases, in particular instances of delays in the investigation and instruction phases continue to be registered in complex corruption cases, which could not be finalized before the expiration of the statute of limitation. We also take note that while the asset declaration system has been reformed, the transparency entity mandated to verify disclosures is not yet operational. On media pluralism and freedom, standards for the protection of journalists remain high, and legislation and jurisprudence appear to effectively protect journalists. But there have been instances of threats and limitations to journalists' professional activities, including a case of surveillance seeking to identify journalist sources. We take note of the prompt investigation into this particular allegation. Finally, regarding the system of checks and balances, we have also looked at the use of emergency powers by the government in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic. In Portugal, it was subject to authorization by Parliament and ex post control, including by Parliament and courts. These are important safeguards to counterbalance the powers of the executive. Civil society also plays a key role in the system of checks and balances. However, we see the new challenges are emerging for civil society, which is facing instances of hostility and pressure. These are only some findings presented in the Commission's report. I look forward to your eventual comments and questions. The Commission will continue to play its role, and I count also on your support to defend the rule of law. Honourable members, honourable chairs, thank you very much for your attention.
Muito obrigado, Senhora Vice-Presidente Vera Jourova. Iremos dar então sequência à nossa reunião. Eu darei a palavra aos diferentes grupos parlamentares por ordem decrescente de representatividade, começando assim pelo Grupo Parlamentar do Partido Socialista. Intervirá em seu nome a Sra. Deputada Edith Estrela, que é também Vice-Presidente da Assembleia da República. Sra. Deputada, tem a palavra.
Muito obrigada, Sr. Presidente. Bom dia a todas e a todos. Em nome do Partido Socialista, cumprimento a Sra. Vice-Presidente da Comissão Europeia e dou-lhe as boas-vindas ao nosso país e ao nosso Parlamento. Em relação ao relatório, como se pode concluir, e também daquilo que foi dito pela Sra. Comissária, a democracia portuguesa está de boa saúde. A separação de poderes nunca esteve em causa. A independência e a liberdade dos média é uma realidade. Os direitos fundamentais são respeitados integralmente e há legislação que visa aperfeiçoar a qualidade da nossa democracia. E por isso, como são apontados dois maus exemplos, que são a Hungria e a Polónia, é sobre eles que vou falar. Relativamente à Hungria, o documento denuncia o clientelismo, a inexistência de mecanismos independentes de controlo da corrupção e a falta de liberdade, independência e pluralismo nos meios de comunicação social. Sim, senhora Comissária, não tenho dúvidas em concordar que a democracia na Hungria...
In Hungary is literally still ill without any wording. There is a lot of Viktor Orban challenging the fundamental principles of the European Union. In the years that I was MEP, I have seen the unqualified behavior and the systematic attempts to the rule of law. And at that time, I have denounced the tolerance and the sluggishness that the European institutions dealt with the problem. Now, there is some hope in our next future that he'll be defeated in the next elections. That would be a victory for democracy. Yesterday, aptly enough, I have seen in the Portuguese television a program in which you also have participated on two member states, Hungary and Luxembourg. In Hungary, the persistent attempts on the rule of law were denounced, whereas in Luxembourg, the values of European Union are fully respected. On Poland, the report shows serious concern with the judicial independence. There's lack of independence, legitimacy, and the constitutional tribunal or court. Now there is the lack of respect for the primacy of the European right on the over the Polish rights. Also in Poland, the situation of the journalists has deteriorated. Furthermore, there were laws approved limiting drastically the rights of women to IVG as well as the rights of the LGBT community. In the Supreme Court, disciplinary chamber continues at work in spite of the deliberation of the European Union Justice. Court of Justice has condemned Poland to pay a fine. Some questions now. What is going to do the European Union to do to oblige or compel Hungary and Poland to respect the rule of law, the European legislation, and the founding values of the European value? How are the Article 7 is going to stick? And I remember that Hungary was the sole member state that has blocked the protest of the European Union against the laws of security laws of that Peking applied over Hong Kong. So I wonder how can the European community avoid that Hungary and Poland fulfill their threat to block the European decisions demanding unanimity? Thank you. Thank you. Now I give the floor to the representative of the PSD parliamentary group, Isabel Merelles. She's the coordinator of this party in the regarding European points, subjects. Thank you. I'd like to greet all the colleagues from this parliament. A very special word of welcoming to the Vice President. On behalf of the PSD group, you are welcome to this House of Democracy. As we know, European Union is based on a set of common values such as respect for the fundamental rights and democracy and the rule of law that are seen as one of the most important assets of the European Union. The jurisprudence of the Court of Justice of the European law, which is a source of law as any other one, so it is, and its case law is defined a set of requirements that European Union and European members are fulfilling, are abiding by. And I remember an agreement of 2021 Republic Against Prime Minister that says, affirms that the rule of law is a previous condition to join the European Union. And after the joining, the states cannot change their legislation, that is, diminish the protection of that the rule of law in that country. So in relation to Portugal, we know that democracy is healthy and sound, and there are some weak points. The judicial system is not enough, and namely on the fiscal and administrative courts are not so effective, although we have pursued very many efforts in this parliament to improve corruption cases and so on. But the judicial authorities consider as concern the lack of resources of the police and the ministry or public ministry. Regarding the media, there are some threats and threats to journalists, namely a case that is known of surveillance in order to see what were the sources of those journalists. My first question is, what comments can you do, Vice President, on what was referred here regarding the situation of Portugal, and how can you improve that? A second question is also that I consider very important is that the European Parliament has formalized on October 29th, so very recently, an action for a mission against the European Commission for not activating the mechanism of rule of law on conditionality. And according to the European Parliament, the Commission should have done it before and should have suspended the payments to the member states in case of suspicion of the lack of respect to the rule of law. And recently we had a controversial debate from the Poland court that questions those principles the rule of law in Poland. But von der Leyen said that the European Union should act before. So there's a conflict that some claim that the European Union should have acted before and regarding this lack of payment. The funds to the member states that would violate the European values, which until now it has not been done. And finally, last but not least, there are some arguments. The Commission says that argument should be activated after the Court of Justice has pronounced on the recourse raised by Poland and Hungary. Some countries also are in favor of that, such as Portugal. I'd like to have your comments on that, please. Thank you. Now, in representation of the parliamentary group of the bloc of the left blocks, we'll have Beatriz Dias and Fabiola Cardoso will intervene. I give the floor first to Beatriz Dias. Thank you, President. I'd like to greet the Vice President of the European Commission and the member of the Parliament here present. In relation to the report that we are analyzing, we like to ask two questions on the access to fundamental rights. So the tools that European Union has implemented to guarantee equality to all people, all citizens living in the countries of the Union. And in our opinion, we want to know if those tools, those instruments, have not achieved that objective. So there are some people who live in the countries of the European Union that are asked, are faced with difficulties in preventing their access to fundamental rights, talking about people that of gypsies or African countries. Some of them are faced with obstacles that prevent their access to health, to lodging, to dignified work and wages and else. We know that these people have play a fundamental role for the social and economic development of the European countries where they live, and in their vast majority they are treated as coming from outside the social national fabric, as if they were not part of the national citizens. So in the 2025 and strategic framework of the Union for the inclusion of the gypsies were instruments that were designed and are recommended to guarantee that these obstacles are gone. But this reporting doesn't show any articulation or relation with the rule of law and with the access to protection of these people and fundamental rights. So my first question is regarding this. What evaluation do you, and what is the point of implementation of these, and what are the protection of the protection of the fundamental rights? Thank you, Beatriz. Give the floor now to Fabiola Cardoso, Vice President of the Commission of the European. Thank you, Vice President, Vice Chairman. I'd like to greet all the presents here today, in particular the Commissioner Vera Jourova, and I'd like to thank her presence here in the House of our Portuguese democracy. In Portugal and in other European countries, the old miners would tell their grandchildren the story of the cannery. That was their system of safety when they would go down to the wells. They would take a small bird, cannery inside, and inside the mine, when the cannery fell dead, then that would be the sign of alarm to the miners. So if he was right that the air is becoming irrespirable, so the amount of oxygen would go down and put them, all of them, in at risk. So that when the bird fell, then that would time to for them to leave before they die. So the rights of the lesbian, bisexual, transsexual people are at that cannery, little bird. So when those birds are threatened and they are silenced, that is the alert, the collective alert for the risk that imperils each and everyone, for the risk that affects the fundamental rights and the democracy itself. That it is time to act to save the rule of law, not only in Hungary, not only in Poland, but also in Bulgaria, where this week we have seen some homophobic attacks. It's time to act, not only to defend the rights of these people, but also act in defense of rule of law against fascism, in defense of democratic liberties that are threatened. The cannery died. What concrete measures has the Commission prepared to avoid the contact effect and escape inertia and resolve the legal imbroglio and guarantee that democracy will survive in Europe? Thank you. Thank you, member of Parliament Fabilio, I don't have any other requests from the other groups, so I would give the floor to the commissioner, and since I have will still have more time, I would then grant the possibility to others afterwards. Duarte Marques, please. President and deputy members of parliament, first of all, I'd like to say that it is not the report of the European Union that is belated. Portugal was late to approve the legislation against corruption, just as to correct what Mr. José Magalhães has said. I'd like Mrs. Commissioner to explain to the Portuguese how the European Commission almost 3 years ago has submitted a report on Hungary. And I think that later on then the law in Poland. And how many years after that, in spite of that, the Council has never put on the table the debate on that report, because it is very common to hear prime ministers speaking about the situation in Hungary, but when they are at the council's table or when they preside over, they never put on the table a decision on the report that the European Commission and very well did. And I would like you also to comment the PRR and the rules of rule of law. Please, thank you very much. Yes. Now I would like to ask if other members of the parliament want to use this minute, additional minute. I don't think it is the case. So it is time to give the floor to Madam Vera Jourova and to answer and comment these interventions.
Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for a very well-targeted comments and questions. I have now two options, either to read the concluding remarks, which I have prepared, or to react on every concrete question. Of course, I will go for the second option, because I really think that your comments and questions were very, very relevant and needed requiring the answers. Madame Estrela spoke about... You started with the sentence that Portugal has a healthy democracy. I'm so happy. I can confirm that this is how I see that. Democracy is in good hands here, and also the approach and the debate we have on the rule of law report, which is indeed meant to be preventive tool and a platform and database for the debate is very important for me and shows that here is really a serious or very, very deep understanding that we need to do more on preventive side and to have early dialogue about the negative tendencies which might appear in some states. We have two member states under Article 7, which is Hungary and Poland. However, we have seen in the rule of law report for each country that, as we say in Czech language, there is something in every family. So all the member states have in their report something which is of course positive, but also negative. And I already engaged in dialogue with three member states. I will not name them, but where we saw the tendencies which might grow into something which will not be easy to repair, and the member states accepted the criticism and they introduced some changes On the basis of our dialogue, and I mean, some say that when the Commission is working on this report, which is also covering the checks and balances, which is the holy space for national constitutions, that the Commission is going too far. But I mean, we are not going too far when trying to have the dialogue with the member states and identify early on where there might be some problems. And I want to say that for me, the rule of law principle, it's not a political matter. It's the universal value. So for me, it can be and should be equally guaranteed by conservative government and parliament or majority in the parliament and liberal governments and majority parliaments as well. So this is something which is above, and that's the principle which all the member states signed for and at the moment of accession to the EU and at the moment of signature of Lisbon Treaty. And it's the case of Poland, which joined the EU in 2004. And then Lisbon Treaty was signed later, and the principle was well known when the countries entered the Union. And so at this moment, when the Polish Constitutional Court decides that there are some articles in the Lisbon Treaty which will not be applied in the country because they contradict the constitution, it's really a cold shower for the whole Europe. Because suddenly the country, by the declaration of its Supreme Court, says the membership will only respecting only partly the common rules. Where is then the trust of other partners in the EU? When some member says, we will only partly be married, if I can use this comparison as a happily divorced woman. Sorry. But this is serious. So that's why now we are watching the situation in Poland with big concern. Ursula von der Leyen said that we have to continue the dialogue. We are negotiating now the conditions for the recovery money to be paid to Poland. But at the same time, the president said clearly, and I confirm it today, that we will use all the tools available guarantee or to get closer to the guaranteed rule of law in the member states. And you asked, Madame Estrela, about how the Commission will compel. Article 7, it's the article which some called atomic bomb. It is neither atomic nor bomb, because we need unanimous decision that the sanction might be applied, and we are far from that. And I think it was also the question of Mr. Duarte Marquez about the Article 7. Well, the situation is that we need 21 member states to vote for the recommendation to be issued and sent to the member state. If you remember the situation after very controversial law, Hungarian law on education, which stigmatized the LGBT community, their own citizens, that we only had 18 member states which signed the declaration. It was a good testing moment and also the moment of truth. So I wonder if the French presidency will propose the vote, because it's for the Council. It's not the Commission's instrument. It's for the Council to propose the following steps in the procedure, and we will see whether there will be sufficient support for issuing the recommendation to Poland, but maybe also to Hungary. The other tools are infringement procedures. I would like to attract your attention to the fact that the Commission up to now has won all the cases we delivered to the table of the European Court of Justice, which means that we are really assessing very carefully whether there is the legal reason and very strong legal ground under our feet for launching such procedure. So this is efficient tool, and this tool leads to sanctions. And we see it now vis-a-vis Poland, that there is the sanction of 1 million euro per day for not dismantling the disciplinary chamber and not allowing the punished judges to come back to work. So now we wait for Poland's reaction, whether they will respect the ruling of the court and avoid the sanction. So it's the infringement. Then the rule of law conditionality. There was a question of, I will come to that later, but I will say it now. The conditionality, which is based on the regulation, which is in force since the 1st of January this year. That's why the Parliament now is suing the Commission for not applying this conditionality. I have to defend the Commission. We have the decision of the Council that we should wait for the European Court of Justice decision on whether the instrument is compliant with the primary law. And we also have to do a thorough assessment of the situation in the several countries, because for the first time we have to do a special kind of assessment, because the regulation says we can launch the procedure against some country when we see two conditions: the breaches of the rule of law, which might mean, for instance, not a lack of independent judiciary in the country, which might cause harm to EU money. This connection has to be proven. We have to have waterproof evidence that this is the case. And we are working on this assessment, and we will use the conditionality in due time, also with the intention to withstand the future legal disputes. Because immediately when we trigger the process against some country, the country will try to defend with all possible legal tools. So this is not the lack of action of the Commission. This is an ongoing process which will lead to action. I can confirm it will happen soon, but I will not specify the date. What Madame Meireles, am I horribly pronouncing your name? Am I not? Sorry. But you asked about the similar things which I already covered by speaking about the tools. But on the rule of law report, the country-specific report on Portugal, the report is rather positive when it comes to the checks and balances. You know it better than me that the system is very well balanced and stable, sustainable. The Portuguese system shows that it takes decades to fine-tune the system, and it takes a lot of efforts to keep it up and running, and you are doing very well. As for the efficiency of judiciary, this is a long-lasting issue. The slow processes, which are connected with some capacity shortages, and also I spoke yesterday to the Minister of Justice, Francisca Fandunem, about how Portugal will use the recovery funding for increasing of efficiency of Portuguese judicial system. And there is a lot of new funding which is available, also for digitalization, because judiciary system, it's the constitutional power which requires a lot of protection, but also it has to prove that it's highly professional, high quality, reliable, and trustworthy public service. Sometimes when I say that judiciary is public service, some say, are you sure? I am sure about that, because the people need to have high-quality judiciary system, which does not deal with their cases for forever, for years. So this is one of the things which have been criticized. And the second thing is the anti-corruption, the strategy has or involves very concrete steps which has which have to be taken to make the procedures, especially when it comes to corruption and high-level corruption, swifter and leading to the results without procedural and unnecessary procedural obstacles. There are a lot of preventive measures in the strategy which should be implemented. So I think the direction is fine. The implementation is still missing. And it's of course important, and I'm not here to preach something regarding Portuguese political situation, but it would be really great if after the elections the course will be kept and the anti-corruption measures will be strengthened. Media, it's everywhere now. The situation, the safety situation of journalists is worsening in all the member states, and we recommended also Portugal to increase the security measures and create the better conditions for the work of media to keep them alive and economically strong. Because the weaker the media are economically, the more prone for politicization or some economic pressures they are. And then the independence is weakening as well. Still a few minutes?
You have time, right? You
are so patient. I am I don't want to abuse it. Yes, it was the question of Madam Meireles about the conditionality. Mrs. Diaz, yes, equality, equal rights, equal opportunities, inclusive society, so many nice words on so many papers. And we still see a lack of seriousness in implementation of these all good measures and the rights guaranteed by the Charter of Fundamental Rights in the EU and by the constitutions in each and every member state. So why it does not work? I think that we are lacking political courage. I will be now brutally open with you. Because we have laws in place. We have those big laws like charter. We have the laws in each member state, including the criminal law, which is prohibiting hatred based on race. We have a lot of funding available for the projects, which should increase the chances of everyone to have proper place in the society. And you were right by saying that the people the people who belong to different minorities play important role in the society and also in economy of our countries. And they still are not given back what they are investing. So there is a lot of funding also from European Union. I will not go into the different programs, but you know what is available. I criticize two things, that there is a lack of courage for the politicians at different levels, including the local level, to invest this money into the projects which will bring the difference. And there is also a lack of courage to enforce the crime and enforce the equal rights also through the labor law and the labor inspectorates and different institutions. And I see less and less courage in the EU because it's less and less popular to defend the rights of minorities in many member states. It is the topic which does not win elections. And it's about the canary you spoke about, Madame Cardoso. We see a lot of bad trends in the EU. The LGBT community is under big pressure in several states. There you ask, rightly so, what concrete measures we can do. we can use the financial power and the leverage we have through the distribution of EU money. So we already are applying the general condition which we have for the cohesion policy money, that the money can only go to the projects and regions which respect the fundamental rights. It's for the first time in history we are applying this article vis-a-vis Poland now. And we have anti-discrimination strategy or anti-racism strategy, which we have the action plan for the LGBT community. And there are really concrete things which should be done, which should be implemented at the member states level with the help of EU funding. So I would recommend you, if you want to go into details to look into these strategies, you might say it's just another paper where there are nice words, but there are really very concrete measures. And we work also with the